I think most of you probably might know that my name's Holly, and I am one of the ordinands from Trinity College. But this evening, I've been asked to share something of a testimony about how regularly reading the Bible impacts my life. And I found this sort of quite a hard topic to really talk on, really, because there were so many things that I could say. But as I've been thinking and praying about what I might say tonight, what I felt led to share was about one of the big things God has taught me through my reading of the Bible sort of over the years, so sort of a bigger picture view. And that is essentially that God calls humans and not heroes. So I'm going to try and explain a bit about how and why I have wrestled with this idea, but also share a bit about what place reading the Bible has had in my life since childhood. So I grew up in a Christian family, and Bible stories were sort of a super normal part of my childhood. As a family, we regularly read Bible stories, and at bedtime, one of my favourite things is that my dad would give me Bible quizzes, which I loved, and he'd also sing, I don't know if anyone else grew up with this, those cheesy Christian songs about Bible characters. I remember one about Zacchaeus climbing up a tree, and it ended with Jesus coming to your house for tea. Yeah. I also grew up on VeggieTales. I don't know if anyone else has heard of it. I assumed every Christian had, but coming to theological college has taught me that actually everyone hasn't, and it sounds really weird. But VeggieTales is essentially Bible stories told by animated singing vegetables, and it really is as weird and as wonderful as it sounds, but it was a way in which Bible stories were really brought alive for me as a child. So I genuinely really loved hearing Bible stories. I really loved learning about them, but as a child, I think that's all they really were for me. They were just stories. And in these stories, the characters were always painted as heroes. Usually always male heroes, but that's another talk entirely. But the problem really with this is that it gave me the impression that these are the sort of people that God uses. He uses heroes, people that are strong, who have got their lives sorted out, and do great things for God. And I'll come back to that in a moment. So as I got into my teenage years, I was part of a really great youth group, and I really loved going to church. But at the time, the way I felt that I really connected with God was through music, through sung worship and playing the guitar and singing. And outside of church and my youth Bible study group, I hadn't really made reading the Bible part of my everyday life. It was something that I definitely thought I should be doing, but I didn't really know how to start. I remember one day getting my Bible out and sitting down and trying to read it from the start to the end. Not in one sitting, obviously, but just that idea of I'm going to start at the beginning and read it through. And I don't know if that's something anyone else has ever tried to do, but I gave up pretty quickly. It was too hard. But one thing I do remember is I heard a talk, or it might have been in something that I read, and someone spoke about asking God to give you a desire to read the Bible. So this is what I started to do. I started to pray that God would give me a hunger for reading the Bible and asked him to help me do it. And it's a prayer that God has definitely answered. Reading the Bible is now a core part of my daily life, and I love exploring it. And thankfully, this doesn't happen too often these days, but if for any reason that I don't manage to read the Bible first thing in the morning, I do notice a difference in myself that day in comparison to the days when I do it. But making the Bible a part of my everyday life is something that I've had to really work at, and I still have to pray now and ask God to help me to do it. So I mentioned that I grew up in a Christian family, but it was probably around the age of about 17 when I started to take my faith really seriously and decided that I wanted to put God first and try and discern what it was that God wanted me to do with my life. And this was the point when I started to pray that prayer about asking God for the desire to read the Bible more. And as I started to read the Bible more for myself, I started to become more and more frustrated. So bearing in mind that up until this point, I've basically been relying on my childhood knowledge of classic Bible stories and heroes. And now as a 17-year-old, I'm trying to regularly read the Bible and I start to get frustrated. Basically, because essentially I realise, as a child, you're only told part of the story. So, for example, as a child, I was told the story of Noah and the Ark, but it completely missed the part out at the end where Noah goes and gets drunk. I was told the story of Moses, who stood up to Pharaoh and saved the Israelites, But not that he actually didn't want to go and felt totally inadequate for the task God had for him. I was told about Abraham and Sarah and how God answered their prayers for a son and this promise of a great family, but wasn't told about how they were really impatient, and so impatient, in fact, that they tried to take matters into their own hands and Abraham ends up sleeping with his servant. I was told the story of David, the shepherd boy who defeated the giant and became king, but not told anything about actually what he was like as a king and the mistakes we know he made. I could go on, and I don't know if this is something that anyone else is related to, but it frustrated me. And I remember going to my youth worker and other people around me, and I tried to ask them about these incomplete stories. And I even remember my youth worker sat us down once and said, "So what do you want us to do in our Bible study sessions? What do you want us to cover?" And so I said, "Can we go back to these classic stories and fill in the gaps that we missed as children?" They didn't go anywhere with it, but I tried. And maybe it's okay not to know the whole story as a child. But after dealing with this initial frustration, as I returned to the stories I learned as a child and learned more about the people God was working in and using in the Bible, God started to unpick my perception that he only calls heroes or people who have got their lives together. And this has been a really significant learning point for me and something that God continues to teach me about again and again. So as I mentioned, and most of you will know, I'm here as an ordinand. I'm currently training to be a vicar if I survive the training. And as I mentioned, around the age of 17, I decided that, you know, I wanted to try and work out what God wanted me to do with my life. Back then, I definitely did not think that it would be vicar training, but I did start to feel that maybe God was asking me to be involved in leadership in the church in some way. I'd already started to get involved in doing a few things at my church at the time. But something that I've really wrestled with is that feeling of not being good enough to lead others or be used by God. But each time I've questioned God in this way and gone to him with my doubts, he's pointed me back to those examples of people he used throughout the Bible. So in the examples of the incomplete Bible stories I mentioned earlier, the point was not to suggest that God makes mistakes in who he chooses. It's not even to point out the mistakes that the humans made or the things they got wrong, but just to show that God uses humans. It can be easy to look at people in the Bible or even the people around us in our lives and think that they've got everything together and would do a much better job than us at the things that God is calling us to, and let that get away in our own obedience to God. At least that's one of the things I'm definitely very guilty of doing. But God does not call heroes. He calls humans. And no matter how heroic the acts of the humans in the Bible, they are not the true heroes. It's never really their strength or talents or skills or power that's the point. It's God that's the hero of the Bible. And I think as a child and as a teenager, I definitely missed the point. God chooses and uses people who are weak, who probably aren't the most obvious ones for the job, but those who will be obedient to him and through whom God's glory can be revealed. Earlier, I gave the example of Moses, and his story has been one that has encouraged me so much. Moses is called by God into what I think were very scary circumstances. Moses doesn't respond to God's call with immediate obedience. He doubts, he fears, he questions, and his response of God, "Please send someone else," is definitely one I have continued to use repeatedly, particularly in the last 6 months. But God does not send someone else. He promises to be with Moses, to be with me, to be with us, and he promises to equip us each step of the way. And of course, it's never really about Moses, just as it's never really about me. It's about God and his will being realised in the world and in our lives, and his glory being revealed in mine or our weaknesses. And of course, it's totally not true that God really requires heroes. He doesn't need us to fulfil his plans on earth. If that were true, then we wouldn't really need God's grace or power at work in us. We would be able to do things in our own strength, and that's definitely not what God has been teaching me about. So that's one of the things that God has been teaching me through regularly reading the Bible. He calls humans and not heroes, And we have the immense privilege of having a relationship with a God who wants to work in us and through us for his glory to be revealed regardless of our weaknesses. And it's because of our weaknesses that God's power is made perfect.
Following on something that Holly said, rang a bell with me. One of the most important people in my life was my grandfather, the only one I knew. He was a lovely chap. He had his faults, but he had had an experience in his, perhaps in his 30s, where God had actually spoken to him. And he hadn't been a believer, and he was absolutely converted, and it was beautiful. And he read me Bible stories and spoke about faith and things, so he was a great influence. And my journey with the Bible started with the King James Bible. I don't recommend it myself. This was before I was a teenager, and I read it from end to end and repeated the cycle. And it was not till I was in my mid-20s that the thought occurred to me that Christ had actually died for me. And that was a sort of, moment. So my habit has been to read a chapter a day. And it's not always been working just through the Bible from end to end. Perhaps with the house group, when we've been doing a particular book, I will have broken off from my pattern and done that instead. It's first thing in the morning, or more or less about breakfast time. When I was at work, because I was up first and left before everybody else did things, I used to read the Bible while I ate my breakfast, so that sort of incorporated, so I didn't feel that, I've got to fit that in. It was a natural part of getting up in the morning and things, so that was helpful. Before I read, I pray in my head, Lord, will you please give me understanding of what I'm reading? Help me to live it out in what you show me from this. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it doesn't at all. And Psalm 16, verse 11, you made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. So reading the Bible on a daily basis, and especially, I think, in the morning, the beginning of the day, this gives me an awareness and a reminder of God's presence at the start of the day for the whole day. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each of you should give just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. So God asks for generosity from me, not the Old Testament tithe by law, but to give out of love. So it seems to me that 10% of income is a good starting point in my situation, and then to be generous on top of that. And it should be done wisely, planned and regular. Now, this is easier. I have no mortgage. The children have left home. It makes it much easier. So Julie and I do not give sacrificially. We don't go cold or hungry. We do go on holiday. So God's graciousness towards us is beyond our understanding. And giving, I think, is a token of our love to God. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, from the Message. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and the unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. So to love my neighbour, that is everybody, a decision of the will to do good to them even when I do not naturally feel for them or get annoyed by their behaviour or attitude, hoping they in turn will put up with me. And to forgive those who have been unkind, this is not natural, but exemplified by Jesus with his executioners. I find it helpful to remember that whatever my initial regard for someone, Jesus loves them and has paid for them to be set free. And the Bible is just full of challenging things, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Well, the Lord's been gracious to us. We have a house. We have facilities. We have the space, bedrooms. We're blessed with two bathrooms, which is great. So having people to stay with us, to have people to come in and eat with us, is something that we have the ability to do. And this has brought us a lot of fun, a lot of joy, a lot of reward. We have people, we know people all over the world, which is just great. So we have been blessed by having people welcoming strangers. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. I consider this a real privilege to be able to come in freedom, to meet with others, to worship God. I feel it's a calling on my life, and I am somewhat inhibited, because I'm British and male, to worship in the manner that King David did. But I suppose really, if I wasn't sort of too shy to that extent, I would love to be more expressive, you know, in a physical way, besides just singing, in terms of worship. But I don't suppose I ever will. Anyway, and finally, just a thought from John 21, verse 7, and the last bit. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This was spoken over me by the bishop when I was confirmed in my last year at school. It's been on my mind ever since, as this is something that is a calling on my sheep. So we have the privilege of having a house group in our house, and various other things where I think a little feeding hopefully has been done. Anyway, I would thoroughly recommend you read the Bible every day. Thank you.
John, I'm really looking forward to eternity in heaven, and